Just, you hear your alarm go off and you say, no, that has to be wrong. It has to be only 2 o'clock in the morning. Now, it's real nice when you happen to make a mistake and your alarm goes off and it's 2 o'clock in the morning and then you realize and you say, wow, I get to sleep some more. It feels so good, right? But our life goes quickly like sleep goes quickly. They are as a sleep. In the morning, they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning, it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening, it is cut down and withereth. I come from a farming background. I've seen it many, many times, that cycle. The things grow, and then they're all green, and you think, boy, this is great. Everything's going to be green for a long time. And before you know it, you turn around, and you're cutting it down. And everything's brown and, sorry, ugly to me. I don't like it. I don't like the fall time because it means winter's almost here. It's brown, and I like it green and fresh, but that's the way our life is. It goes so quickly. For we are consumed. Here he starts a little bit different theme, that the reason our life is so short and it goes by so quickly, the reason is sin. Not, yes, our sin, but because of sin in general, what brought death upon the earth. You look at Genesis chapter 5, these patriarchs, as we call them, they lived for these hundreds of years, and then they died, every single one of them. They lived, they had a child that's named there, and probably many, many more children, and then they died. They lived, they died. They lived, they died. Why? Sin. Sin, the punishment, the horrible punishment of sin brings death, and as Moses goes to show us, it gets the lifespan gets shorter and shorter and shorter to where it makes that time that you have, that little bit of time that you have left on earth, more and more and more valuable. And every single one of us live not in that 1,000-year lifespan. We all live in a very, very short time span. Verse 7, as we started to read, for we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. God can't stomach them, and he cut men's lives short because of it. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Our lives are so short compared to what they used to have. It's so short, and we need to learn to number our days and apply it as in wisdom. Let's pray. God, I pray that you'd help us today to realize the importance of every day that we have, every hour, every year that we have in college, another year goes by. Help us, Lord, to realize each of these things are so valuable. God, I pray that you'd stir our hearts today concerning this issue. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Imagine seeing your grandparents live to be 900 years old. You think they are already, don't you? Then you were told that you only had 100 years to live, or 75 years to live. That'd make me jealous, right? They get to live all of this time, and I only get a few years by comparison. Imagine your grandparents getting married at 75, having children for 400 years, and starting to get old at 700. Then you are told that you are going to get married at 25, have children for 20 years, start to get old at 60, and die at 75. You feel like you got gypped? That's not right. That's not fair. Now, it's not my grandparents, but it is our ancestry. It is those who came into this world at the beginning for over 1,000 years, for over 1,500 years. They live that kind of a life. And now all we get is about 70 to 75 years. Imagine, you feel that life is very short. Right now, there are two people alive in the entire world with a birthday in the 1800s. Only two. I think they're still alive. You know, I think it might have changed as of yesterday. Right? They're very unpredictable by this age. Obviously, no one is alive today that was around when the Catholic Church split in 1054 AD. So, of course not, right? Nobody is alive that was there at the time the Magna Carta was signed in 1215. That's only about 800 years ago, right? No one alive now lived through the times of the Middle Ages or even 500 years ago when Martin Luther put those theses on the wall. Nobody is alive from 400 years ago when the King James Version was written, translated. Yet the Bible says that in Psalm 90, verse 4, that even 1,000 years are very short. If 1,000 years are short, how short is 75 years or 70 years? I'm trying to get you to see, teenagers, you'll be sitting here in this middle section before you know it. And you'll be out of this middle section before you know it. And you'll be living your own life, college students. We used to have a couple of older folks in here that were a part of the college. They're not even here anymore. They're out at work. Guess what? Time goes by. You move on. I used to be sitting where you're sitting. It seems like a couple years ago. And you look at me like an old man. Listen, time goes by quickly. And when we think of the long lifespan, that's what Moses was saying when he wrote this. You consider the long lifespans of people in his past, and he said, all we have now is 70 years, if you're lucky, and 80 years if you've got a little bit more strength to carry you through, and only a couple people make it past 100. Our life is so short by comparison. It's a breath, it's a vapor, a short, lazy wisp of the wind. That's 70 years by comparison. Isn't it sad that not only do people not value every hour, every day of their short lifespan, they also don't value the eternal. Listen, we not only have a very short, compact time period of life, but we also have just as much eternity to look forward to as all of those ancient people did. So that means we better spend the little time that we have in preparation for the eternal life. It is so short. When you look at this psalm and you see the sad despair that Moses realized, we're under the judgment of God. His anger and his wrath are against us. How can you understand God's anger at sin so much that he'd cut our lives short? Well, I think one way to understand is that it took the death of Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, to pay for our sins. That's how serious our sin is. It took his death. There was no other way for God to pay for our sins apart from the death of his own Son. Listen, God has given us a sacrifice, a good life. I didn't read the rest of the chapter. He's given us a very special privilege to enjoy his mercy in the 70 to 80 years that we do have. His mercies are available to us. If you're here today and you're not saved, you don't have any of his mercies given to you. Your 70 or 80 years are going to be spent in misery, and then your eternal life is going to be spent in misery. Eternal death. Today we want to look at 3 points. I'm not going to be too long, I don't believe. First of all, we're going to look at what it means to number our days. What does it mean to number our days? And then secondly, the Bible says, teach us. How does God teach us to number our days. Third, then we want to see what's the wisdom that that brings to us, the application of wisdom. So what does it mean to number our days, first of all? We see this as an order. Teach us to number our days. It's an order. Our life is so short. And Moses had a firsthand experience and account of how short life was. Remember, he went through the wilderness with those several million people. And he watched them die, many of them young people. Okay? 20 years old and upward, they all died. Moses got to see firsthand death on a grand, grand scale. Probably over a million, I've heard 1.2 to 1.5 million people dying every day. Almost 100 a day die. He saw death all the time. What a vivid picture of how short life is. The Bible uses a number of illustrations to show us. Here in verses 5 and 6, it says life is like sleep. Life is like the grass that comes up and it dies. In Isaiah chapter 64, the Bible tells us that we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. We fade as a leaf and we're gone. The Bible compares in James chapter 4, verse 14, our life to a mist that you look out in the across our lake sometimes, you know, in the spring or the summer, and you see the mist, and by the noonday sun, it's gone. And the Bible compares our life to a mist. Psalm 39, verse 5, has an interesting comparison, that our life is like a hand breath, the width of your fingers from tip to tip. It's about 8 to 9 inches. That's what he compares our life to. You know, life before the flood used to be about this long. It's not very big, is it? And now it's this big. What are you doing with this amount of life that you have? What are you doing with it? How do you spend your life? Are you focused? Do you see that your life is short? Do you see, boy, if I'm going to do anything, I better do it now because I'm not going to have much time. And when you're 30 and when you say, well, that's a long time. I can, you know, I've lived that. You know, I know what it was like when my 20s. I said, boy, you know, I got all day, boy. I got in my all of my 20s to live. And then they were gone. Now I got all my 30s to live. And next month I joined the 40 club. Oh, boy. You know, I'm walking around with an ache in my back already, you know, just thinking about it. Brother Shriver. Oh, sorry, Brother Shriver. I had to do that. All right. But our life is so short. It's a hand breadth. The Bible also, in verses 2 and 3, it says, "Thou turnest man to destruction." Man in his sin, without the mercy of God, man is just headed for destruction. In mass, if the Bible says our life is like water spilt on the ground. I've seen that many times out on the farm or in the garden, you know, we're watering, and the water just disappears. You put it down there, and it goes into the ground, and it seeps away, and it's gone. That's what our life is like, 2 Samuel 14. We live in a world where people don't recognize this fact. It's interesting to me, scientists, researchers, scholars, mathematicians, they know all kinds of detailed information about things. Boy, they know how many millimeters and how many milliliters and, you know, the guys who work in chemistry, you know, Mr. Kelso over there in the lab. Boy, you put this little bit in, they know exactly how to do these little minute things. And they forget how short life is, and they forget the little details that you need in your life because it is so short. They forget how fragile our life really is. How fragile. You know, we heard over the weekend about the death of one of our Supreme Court justices. I know he was 79 years old, but the bulwark of freedom and of the Constitution that he was, and he's gone. He's gone just like that. Listen, every one of us, we better realize that our life isn't guaranteed and it is so short. What do you think when you come to, you know, every day of class, when you come to every day of chapel, when you come to every weekend, oh, it's just another weekend. Every time that you walk into a, you know, whatever it might be, a devotion time in the dorm, these things are all a part of preparing us and getting us to thinking about what really matters, the spiritual. But I laugh about, you know, these scientists. They know the distance from the earth to the sun, and they know the distance from planet to planet. They know how many miles from the circumference of the earth to the center of the earth. They know how far it is to the moon, but they don't know how short their own life really is. Listen, what are you thinking about? What are you focused on? Eternal? Teenagers? Boy, you get so caught up, and the young people today in our society, they get so caught up in technology. We all know this. How long does technology last? Well, you turn around, you know, you get the latest and the greatest, and by the time you learn how to use it, it's outdated. Listen, it doesn't last. It doesn't hold water. It just seeps out and it's gone. Why invest your life in those things? I'm not saying they can't be useful, but we better not be, how can I get this? You know, how can I get an iPod? How can I get this and that? Listen, life is more important than those things. And if you have to, you take the thing and you stomp it on the ground, and I'm going to focus on what's important in life. A mathematician and a scientist was converted, and someone said to him, what are you studying now? You got saved, you used to be a mathematician, what are you studying now? He said, I'm busy preparing for eternity. I'm busy getting the mathematics of eternity, trying to figure that out, trying to understand that all of eternity I'm going to be with God in heaven. He became a preacher. Preparing sermons, he saw something that was much more important than studying facts and mathematics and so on. Listen, our life is 70 years, and if we're strong, it's 80 years. And yet, we act like we have all day to do what we need to do. We act like we got plenty of time. Boy, I'm not in a hurry. There's no urgency. I think of the urgency of my children. I have urgency there. My son is six, and that means he's a third of the way through already till he's college age. A third of the way through. That's scary. I've got a lot of work to do. My girl is the same, you know, a little bit younger, but much more. I have an urgency. There's things they need to learn. There's things they need to be prepared for. Don't say, I can't wait to get out of this place. I know in a way you do get excited about leaving and so on, getting on to the next stage of life. But you ought to be saying, what can I learn? What can I learn? There's more for you to learn. There's lessons for you to learn. There's experiences for you to go through. That brings me to my next point. What does God use to teach us to number our days? First of all, it's His Word. His word, I already read to you a bunch of verses. His word teaches us that life is short. But not only does his word show us that, but the experiences that we have in our own lives teach us that our life is short. A great example, John Bunyan. John Bunyan, the story goes that when he was a young man, he was fond of foolish games. One day, he was in his native village in England walking past some old women who were sitting on seats outside their cottages, and he overheard them talking. They were saying things about the things, they were talking about things that he had never thought about before. Things like being born again and knowing God and facing God. And the thought scared him. I'm going to face God someday, and I'm going to stand before Him, and it's going to be sooner than I think. And of course, he was saved. Soon after that, he wrote many, many books. He turned his life over to the Lord, and God used him. Pilgrim's Progress, The Holy War, Grace Abounding, How many books? Over 60 books that he wrote. He made good use of his time. He had an urgency. He knew his life was short, and he wanted to give those things to future generations. He was thinking, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Perfectly illustrated in this life of a tinker. Not only the experiences that we have ourselves, we see things. We see people whose lives are cut short. You can look around. I think anytime you go to a funeral, now I don't particularly like going to funerals, but I remember very clearly my dad, and I don't know if he knew what he was doing as far as he was thinking like this, but I remember going to funerals when I was a little child, and we always had open casket, and my dad would have me stick my hand into the casket and touch the forehead of the person who was laying there dead. Now you say, well, that's weird. Yes, it's weird. It was very vivid. Obviously, I still remember it very much. What does that do? Anytime you go to a funeral, it reminds you how short life is. Here in a few days, we'll be at the 15-year anniversary of Darcel McCoy getting killed. Relatively young, not middle-aged man, family, life going on, serving the Lord. End of his life. It just makes me think. Anytime I go to a funeral, I'm reminded life is short. Not only in our own experiences, but by the experiences that we see others have. In the book of Luke chapter 12, we see the story, and don't turn there for sake of time, but there see the story of the rich fool. He built barns, and he built bigger barns, and he had all of these things. And then he went to bed thinking about what he was going to do with those things that he had. And God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Christ tells us that to make us realize the shortness of our life, experiences of others. Here's what John Bunyan talked about here's the way he put it. When he was thinking about accumulating wealth and accumulating things, John Bunyan said in one of his stories, he said, there people who are accumulating are raking a little bit of dust into a pile. Raking a little dust into a pile. A little bit of money, a little bit of property, a little bit of this and that. It's all that it amounts to. Nothing is going to last. The Bible says this world shall pass away. What does it mean to pass away, right? It means to die. This world is going to be destroyed. What is wisdom, then, lastly? I got to move on. What is wisdom? The Bible tells us here that in verse number 12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I think wisdom, very simply put, is to see the preciousness of your life. To see it. What's the most valuable thing that we have? I know it's our life, but people talk about the silliest things. You know, I hear about people getting rich people dying and being buried in their pink Cadillac and things like that. It's ridiculous. But what do? We focus on things of this life as well. I mean, we accumulate and we rake in our things, and we have things that are special and precious to us. Things that we would sometimes even be tempted off into sin because of. You ever hear of a missionary named Borden? I've heard this story several times. I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but he's a very, very rich young man. He was converted through the preaching of R.A. Torrey. He gave away his fortune, which was about $1 million. This is back in the 1800s. Of course, that would have been much, much more now. He gave it away, and he devoted himself to preparing to go to the foreign mission field, to China. As he went to Egypt to learn Arabic, he was on his way, headed that direction, and he contracted a serious illness and died a very young man. You say, well, what a waste! No. Actually, he was a great preacher. He became an example to all of us who think that we have to accumulate things. Instead, he gave it away and went out to preach the gospel. And he had no regrets. That was one of the big statements that he made, or that was in his Bible. No regrets. He wasn't ashamed, or he didn't regret that in any way. He said this about every day. He said, each day consists of 24 golden hours. Each hour consists of 60 diamond-studded minutes. That's how he looked at his time. He saw that his money that he had accumulated really didn't mean that much. That was how he thought of time, and he didn't want to waste it. There's another missionary, Robert Murray McShane, that he was a 29-year-old missionary when he died. 29 years old. You say, well, what's the big deal? He gave his life, and it wasn't a loss. God used people like this who gave themselves to the ministry that they were in, and they're example to us still today. William Carey, who didn't die young, but his influence in India was profound. When he went to India, he and his colleagues translated the New Testament over 30 languages. The entire subcontinent of India received the Bible in their own language. One day, a smart Englishman tried to humble William Carey. He said, Carey, when you were back home in England, they say you were just a shoemaker, nothing more. Carey just looked back and said, no, actually, I wasn't a shoemaker. I was just a cobbler. What is he saying? I wasn't anything. I'm not anything. Listen, we're nothing. Our lives are given to him. Our lives are given to eternity. What should you do? Focus on what's important. Plod along. William Carey said, all I do is just keep doing the bit that I can do. I keep plodding. That's all I can do. I can plod. He thought of himself as a plodder. I look at him as a hero. Listen, every one of us can give ourselves to our ministry and see God do something great. What is wisdom in seeing our time? It's living an ordered life. And I know I don't have time to develop this, but the application is live an ordered life. Make good use of your time. Make good use. Get some things to listen to that give you some instruction on your time, how to use it wisely. Get some lessons and some books, and there's all kinds of things like this available about setting your priorities right. Some of you can't get out of bed. You sleep and you sleep. Listen, life is too precious to sleep. It's too precious. Think of this. If you live to be 70 years old, you've got a specific number of days left to live if you live till 70. Think of those days and cut them off by one-third. You're going to sleep that much already probably, or close to it, if you get 8 hours of sleep. So one-third of it's gone laying in bed. You don't have much left. Your time is short. So live an ordered life. Set some priorities. I believe in having fun time. I believe in certain times where you go on vacation, but you know what? You plan those vacations. You don't live a vacation. Some people live a vacation. Boy, I had to go shopping today, so I deserve to get a nap this afternoon. You know, I hear that all the time. Well, I'm so tired. I was shopping all morning. Wow. Listen to this. There's one sense in which the Christian's life is better on earth than it will be in heaven. Say, nope, not possible. Let me just hear me out. One way. Once you get to heaven, your reward is fixed and you can't increase it. While you're on earth, you have time to increase your treasures that you lay up in heaven. What are you doing to increase that treasure that you have in heaven? My father, my dad, is already living past the age of 70. He's almost 72, actually, this week. 72 years old. He's living on what we call borrowed time. If I live to be 70, I have 10,990 days left from right now, leap years included. 10,990 days left. One third of that is already about a third is already almost gone, sleeping. That means that I have equivalent of around 6,500 days to live. 6,500. What am I doing with those 6,500 days? That's just over 30 years. What am I doing with that time? What am I doing every day? That ought to be just, it is. I think more and more as I get to 40, everybody says 40 is over the hill. Well, I don't feel like it, but it does scare me. It makes me realize the urgency of your life. And just because I'm 40, I should realize it. If you're 20, you should realize it. If you're 15 or 12, you should realize it. Because it goes by quickly. I have children to raise. I have treasure to lay up in heaven. I have people's lives that I want to touch. There's certainly time to play and have fun, but I have a driving passion to make the most of the little bit of time I have left. Listen, Moses saw that the people of old lived huge amounts of time, and God called that short. And Moses said, if I only have 70 years, I really have a short amount of time. What are you doing with the short time that you have? Let's close in prayer. Dear God, I pray that you'd help each one today to realize the shortness of life. Help each one to stop playing games and fooling around with things that waste time. Lord, help each one of us to prioritize our lives and to make our lives count. Count. Lord, not for ourselves, but for you and for laying up treasures in heaven. I pray, God, that you'd stir us with these things today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you would, please stand to your feet with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Nobody looking around. We'll have a time of invitation. And it's not just a time where you do the same old, same.